Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
All right, we're going to get back into your calls and thoughts. We were talking about the Supreme Court decisions, the latest iterations here that are making headlines, including the Supreme Court rejecting the Biden pay down, if you will, not pay off in most cases, but the college loan program that he was talking about, giving out $10,000 or $20,000 to people with college loans. That's been shot down by the Supreme Court. Also, the Supreme Court now ruling that businesses are free to discriminate against LGBTQ people if it violates their religious beliefs, according to a story over at Axios that we're sharing with you earlier, and we can dig into that a little bit further if you want. You're also welcome to weigh in on whatever's on your mind here. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's go to the phones here. Sarah is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, Sarah.
Yes, I'm the speakerphone. Yes, I've been hearing about some environmental talks, and I heard these before, but these are edible seaweed water pods. And it will
seaweed water pods?
Yeah, I heard about these before. They were designing these water bottles that biodegrade, but I did not know that it was actually seaweed material.
Hold on, you're saying these are bottles of water that the plastic or whatever the material is on the outside is not plastic. It's in point of fact seaweed.
Right, right. So I heard that they were developing these. Like I heard about it a couple of years ago. But I didn't know what they were trying to do. So, but my question is, how is it that when you have the water in there, it's not gonna decompose? It's when you drink the water, supposedly it'll decompose within 45 days. So I mean,
that is an excellent question. Yeah, how does the water stay on a shelf? Because, normally bottled water is going to sit somewhere. It's going to sit in a factory or a warehouse or whatever. It's going to move across. I don't know how long the average bottle of water, the package of bottles of water that's sitting on a store shelf will sit there in some cases. I mean, presumably if it's, maybe it goes faster than I think it does. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that question either, but all I'm thinking of is if it's 45 days, you're going to have a very wet car. A lot of people are going to have a very wet cars if
they leave the bottles in there, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I think the 45 days is after the water is consumed. And then it'll take 45 days to decompose.
So it has to be dry to decompose.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe that's why. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the science behind it. I'm very, very curious about this. I want to hear more about it because, I'm into the environment, I think that's the common trend now. Aren't almost everybody into clean air, clean water, clean energy, conserving the environment. I'm sure you guys are like that too, right?
I mean, I like a nice environment. I like to have clean air and clean water. And who doesn't like that? And if it's something that can actually be done that is profitable, and this may be it sounds like a really interesting product, because a lot of people do understand that plastic, whether you feel like it's going to destroy the environment or not, it definitely is something that some people are concerned with, the plastics seeping into their food or the plastics seeping into their water supply. So, like, there's various different concerns about these products, and if you can actually have something that just disappears over a short period of time. I mean, that seems like it's a pretty smart idea. Can it be done cheaply? Can it be done to the point where the seaweed bottles are similarly priced to the plastic bottles? If not, you know, if it's an elite kind of item, it's never going to catch on.
You know,
right?
You know what actually sounds actually kind of – the reason it sounds kind of interesting is convenience. Like – thinking about this a little bit, like I have a, you know, trash can under my sink, you know, for recyclables, mm-hmm. and I'm always putting, you know, the plastic, you know, water bottle. You know, I'm like most people, you know, I have a stack of, you know, I know you, I don't think you do either.
I don't recycle.
No, but you don't.
Do.
You also don't have like water bottles. You'll go to the sink and get your own water, right?
We got water bottles in the car. I drink
or not
on
water
the road
bottles,
frequently.
But like pre-bottled water, right?
On the road, yeah, we got them in the car.
Oh, you do, but yeah. I mean, you don't have.
I don't have them around the house,
right? So I do.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of particularly bad in that respect, I guess you could sort of mm-hmm. say. But I could see it being really super convenient if I could just take that bottle and instead of putting it in the recyclables. I just put it right into the disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see it being a super convenient, like, reason to do that.
Yeah, like I said, depends on the cost.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, right, I did find the story here. This is it's a few years old now, at least when it was first hitting the news. Maybe it's gotten even better, but the product, at least in 2019, was called Uho or Uhu or something. O-O-H-O. Is how it is
spelled.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, it's got the H2O somewhere into it. Yeah, right?
So it says here that concerned about the impact of the packaging industry was having on pollution in the environment, the two partners created Uho, dubbed the edible water bottle. The company has uh-huh. since captured the imagination of the running crowd, and in April of 2019, it was announced that the startup would work alongside some other company to provide drink bottles at the 2019 London Marathon. The company's head of marketing said, at this year's London Marathon, all of our sport bottles made from 100% recycled plastic and will retain responsibility for them, collecting them on the course and returning them to our factory to be recycled back in new bottles. We're also investing in an innovative solutions, edible Uho packaging.
That seems like such a potentially problematic, like, environmental, but like make you sick, right? Like, I mean, you've got something on the shelf, it's supposed to, the plastic usually protects what's in the bottle, right? From like, you know, dessert uh-huh. germs and like viruses and things to then eat the bottle that is supposed to protect it.
Well, I don't know if you have to eat it. I think the idea is you toss it out.
It just seems like it would be a bad idea to eat something, even if it is edible otherwise.
It's a flexible
plastic.
Go ahead.
The seaweed is incredibly nutritious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a sea vegetable that's nutritious. But the only thing that you say that's the like the bacterial growth, maybe because it's food, I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, sanitary.
But as far as the
even if it protects what's inside, and I would drink from it, I wouldn't necessarily want to eat it.
It says here that Uho is a flexible plastic packaging material made 100% from seaweed and plants. How can it be plastic if it's made from seaweed? Because plastic is comes from petroleum production, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's designed specifically for consumable liquids like water, juices, and sauce sachets. A liquid product is sealed inside a gelatinous membrane made from seaweed, developed by applying sodium alginate found in brown algae and calcium chloride together to create a concrete. The product is designed to be eaten either during or after its use. However, if it isn't eaten, the company claims the material will take an average of 6 weeks to degrade, which is about the 45 days that you were talking about earlier. And they've got a machine they're working on that would produce the product quickly in large quantities and with different and bigger shapes. So who knows? Maybe this thing has gotten some money and investment, and perhaps it's taken off since 2019. I'll tell you, at the time this article was written, they're just these little bags that they weren't uh-huh. in bottle form. They're like these little packets that have liquid in
uh-huh.
them. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Sarah, for bringing that up. It is an interesting concept, and definitely appreciate you reaching out about it. When you look for this seaweed, I just searched for seaweed bottles. There's a company coming up called Notpla. And this is apparently the material. So it says this is the Uho people. UHO and our other packaging solutions are made from Notpla, a material made from seaweed and plants that disappears naturally. It's interesting. And this is, you know, again, it just the question is, how much does it cost? What is it going to cost to put drinks into these bottles? Because you can go to the water aisle at your local grocery store, and you can get the cheap water, which is usually what I buy, right? Yeah. Like if I'm at Walmart, I'll just grab the Sam's Club or whatever the Walmart brand water is, load that up, and I'm done, right? But if you want, they got the fancy glass bottles imported from Italy. You know, they got the mineral water. They got flavored water. They got all kinds of expensive stuff. So there clearly is a market for the expensive stuff. What section of the market, you know, what percentage of the market it is, I don't know. And the question is, can the edible bottles here, the plant-based bottles, can they be marketed at a low cost to where it's actually competitive with the Sam's Club or at the very least the Dasani or one of the name brand waters? Because then if you can get it in that price range, you could probably get a lot more popularity. If it's going to be three times the cost, you're likely not gonna.
You know, this is interesting. I suspect it potentially has a place on the shelf, but it probably is more niche. Mm-hmm. And the reason for it is simply because plastic bottles, plastic in general, is really, 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 really cheap, right? There's a reason that plastic is used so much. Mm-hmm. It's just the costs are so low. And
something new like this is probably not going to have, you know, it doesn't have decades of development and cost reductions and efficiencies.
And volume.
Anything.
Volume is another one that's huge, right? With the plastic, you know, you can get, you know, they come in like pellets, and then you can very cheap, you know, manufacture it, you know, manufacture whatever it is you want out of the plastic. But, you know, something like this, you know, it might have to travel farther. You probably are going to have a very limited number of, like, machines that can use it, like that kind of thing.
So, okay, I'm just looking at their website here and the frequently asked questions. So this is a site that's, you know, this isn't for a consumer. This is for an industry.
Manufacturers.
Yeah, somebody that's looking into this as potential packaging. And the fourth question here, is it possible to brand Notpla products? And the answer is very short. Branding is an option on our boxes. So apparently they have something to replace a box of some sort, like a food container or something. But we can't print on our sachets at the moment. So the fluid containing packaging is just clear packaging at this point. So you cannot have the brand name on the packaging. It's not in a bottle form at all. It's still in this little... you know, just imagine like a little bag of water, essentially, that you can hold in the palm of your hand. That's what we're talking about here. So it's not going to be something that you're going to see in your local convenience store anytime soon, it sounds like.
You know what's interesting is they sell milk in bags, I think, if I recall correctly, in a lot of countries. So it might not be... I know.
Okay.
They also don't refrigerate the milk. So, it doesn't need to be refrigerated unless it's pasteurized, I think, or something along those lines.
No, so that can't be true.
I believe that is the explanation. But I am not an expert on this, and my information is like probably 2000 and somewhere like 20 years old. So
if you want to comment, you can hear the
number. Not that it's probably changed, but
603-283-6160. Skeeter is on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hey, how's my audio?
You're okay, but your phone has some sort of, I don't know how to describe it, like a weird garbled kind of talk back. So, like, whenever we talk, I have to kind of turn you down because it's just constantly making noise. But when you talk, it's fine. So go ahead.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't able to interact with you guys on my last question yesterday, and you guys totally missed the point of my question. But anyways, I heard you guys talking about freedom, and I had another question on that. But for that, I heard you guys talking about recycling in that last segment, and I just wanted to let you know, recycling non-metallic items is harmful to the environment. You know that, right?
I don't recycle.
Yeah. I mean, the other guy, he's talking about having some trash can for his plastics under his sink, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's It's another garbage can, effectively, but yeah.
Yeah, there's an interesting episode of Penn and Teller's BS years ago, yes. Which used to be a really great show. Still is a great show. It's just not on the air anymore. That really opened my eyes on the whole recycling thing. Essentially, it's a scam that the federal government created a make-work program for in the 1980s, that it doesn't make any sense for most things, with the exception of, as you pointed out, Skeeter, aluminum, for instance, is actually worth recycling. Yep. It's worth paying for. It's worth doing. And I think there was one other thing, but it's not coming to mind what the other item was that might have still been worth doing. But definitely the aluminum was, and the rest of it was, like, apparently it takes more energy to clean, like, the paper or the plastic or whatever to go through the process of actually recycling it. So it actually costs more energy, which is supposedly what you're looking to conserve, I guess, for a lot of these people that believe in this stuff. Anyway, go ahead, Skeeter.
Yeah, and it also winds up in the ocean. It goes to poor Southeast Asian countries where it winds up in the ocean, which is what you're trying to prevent in the first place. But I don't want to get into that. I mean, you guys can research that. But I heard you guys talking about, like, you know, freedom, who can businesses serve and stuff. I was, you know, in the absence of government intervention, blah, blah. But I don't understand how you guys immediately exclude the very likely possibility of, like, things like forceful redistribution, market redistribution, or other acts of rational market aggression.
What are you talking about?
You guys totally dismiss the fact that the market will aggress.
Can you explain that?
Like, let's say there's rationale behind things like eminent domain, right? I mean,
always rationale behind why you would steal from someone, but that's not the market. That's the government coming in and stealing people's property. So what do you mean when you say the market will aggress? Can you give an example?
People are going to steal because it benefits themselves, right?
Well, I mean, it's the government that's doing the stealing in that case. But can you tell me where you say the market is aggressing?
Yeah, just because the government usually is the one in like current day that does acts of, like, eminent domain, you totally dismiss the fact of the possibility that the market will actually also do eminent domain.
How's that? Like, can you explain how that would happen?
It wouldn't be eminent domain if the market did it.
And the market will gather enough money to forcibly redistribute property where it's best allocated.
But how does that work exactly?
That wouldn't be eminent domain.
Well, hold on. When you say the market would gather enough money to forcibly redistribute property, how are they going to use force exactly?
It's not force because you're paying off the people who own the land.
Well, that's what property. I would think. But I want to hear what Skeeter has to say. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Just like anything else in the market, supply and demand. So if there's enough demand for, let's say there's have you ever seen that picture like in China where those freeways go around this little house?
Yeah.
She refers herself to the government.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's enough, if that is causing that much inefficiency, like over time each car has to, like, you know, go around it, which is like an extra distance, that all adds up, like, over, like, let's say 50 years. I mean, there's going to be enough demand to forcefully redistribute, and it'll be like a fundraiser, a free market fundraiser, to forcefully remove this person.
But that's not force. The person in the case you give the example of, and there's a lot of these examples where someone is refusing to sell.
Yeah, there's a name for that even. It's...
And they don't have the eminent domain ability, apparently, to just come in there and take it from them, which is, of course, what the American government would do. They would just come in and steal people's property and give it to their corporate buddies, which is what we saw with the Kelo decision in New London back in 2005, by the way. So we know that's what happens here. But in the case that you're giving the example of, the individual is a holdout, and if they manage to raise a bunch of money to buy that person out, that is by definition not force. That is the choice of the individual to sell.
No. Again, you're putting words in my mouth with that. Well, so there's a case where they're irrational and they won't take any. I'm sure she wouldn't have took any amount of money.
Okay.
So in those cases, when she doesn't accept the money, like there's money raised, and, you know, of course they're going to tender an offer before they resort to aggression, which is very expensive. But there is a point. There are irrational people out there who will take, like, no amount of money.
So you're saying you believe that in a free market, which we don't have, but that libertarians tend to advocate, in a free market, libertarians also tend to advocate property rights. And so the idea would be that people would understand that you have the right to decide these matters without having somebody put a gun to your head. You're saying you believe that people in the marketplace would still go and threaten violence against an individual to get them to sell their property.
I got hung up when you used the word free. What do you mean by free market? I know I can say
that's a market in which there's no government violence, that there's no government threats, there's no regulatory mandates by some monopoly on violence. That would be a free market to me.
Yeah, there's no system in where you separate supply and demand. Like that's what government does. That's why it's inefficient, is because it spends money and it's not proportional to demand.
Government's inefficient because it is a monopoly, and it has no incentive to be efficient because it has no effective competition in any geographic area where those people exist. So we're talking about getting rid of that, getting rid of the force of the state, and then having voluntary solutions be put into place. I don't want to live in a place where some road builder can just come in and use violence against people to get them to sell their property or force them off their land, because then you've essentially got another government.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, the monopoly part of it is only part of why government's inefficient. Again, like, you can have a monopoly that's efficient. I mean, it's hard, but if they accordingly allocate supply and demand, it'll be efficient.
It's a theoretical monopoly. I mean, I guess in theory, there could be a company that is just so darn good at what they do, and they're offering the cheapest, best potential product around that no one is competing with them. There is sort of this, whatever you might call a natural monopoly or whatever, not because they're being prohibited from having competition, but just because they're just that good and their product's just that cheap. We've never seen this before, of course. It doesn't actually exist. It is essentially a unicorn, this concept, but I guess it could exist. But yeah,
I feel like the best example of that would probably be something like maybe water or power, or not power, water or like gas lines or something, because it's unlikely, because the cost of building out the infrastructure is so expensive and the demand may not be sufficient in order to justify another competitor entering that market.
But even in the case of that, the water provider, if they raise their prices too much, it would become more economical to just have a man with a truck come by and deliver you a 5-gallon or drill a well or whatever.
Yeah,
so
delivery,
there still would be other options.
You're right.
In that case. Skeeter, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. I would not consider, it would not be a free market. I don't know what Skeeter is talking about, but it's not a free market if somebody can just come along and put a gun to your head and tell you have to sell your property to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically saying that it would be like paying people to commit violent acts on your behalf if you wanted to acquire land that the seller wasn't willing to, or the potential seller wasn't willing to sell you the land.
In a free market that I think most of us envision, if somebody comes with a gun to force you to do something, then you have a right to shoot them to death.
So yeah, to defend yourself.
And most of us would support you in that. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. The Supreme Court has struck down President Biden's earlier student debt relief plan, so he's announcing another one. Biden detailed how this new plan differs from the original.
We will ground this new approach in a different law than my original plan, the so-called Higher Education Act. That will allow Secretary Cardona, who's with me today, to compromise, waive, or release loans under certain circumstances.
Biden argues that Republicans snatched away hope for millions of Americans. Republicans largely agreed with the Supreme Court ruling Friday, which said Biden's student loan relief was wrong to go around Congress. Wall Street's closing sharply higher to cap a strong first half. Encouraging inflation news sparked a broad rally with tech shares leading the way. Apple added 2% to trade above the $3 trillion market cap. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 285 points. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Anything you want to discuss, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want at freetalklive.com. We have many features there. We have our own chat server. You want to join the trolls in the chat server, hop on in there. Go to chat.freetalklive.com. If you go to the public rooms like the On Air Now, there tend to be a lot of trolls in there. But the nice thing about our chat server, as compared to, say, a centralized system like Discord, is the Free Talk Live server, you can actually make your own channels. So if you want to, you can create a completely private channel and only invite your friends and keep out the trolls if you want. So it's up to you. You can do private channels, public channels, encrypted channels, non-encrypted channels. You decide how to make it. You decide how to administrate it. You can administrate it with an iron fist, or you can administrate it with hands off or something completely in between. Just go to chat.freetalklive.com. And you can get started there. You have to follow the instructions to get connected. It takes a few steps. But once you're in, you're pretty much good to go. It's Ian and Chris here in the studio tonight. We were talking about discrimination, the Supreme Court ruling that apparently now it is legal in the United States to discriminate against LGBTQ people if it's for religious reasons at your business.
Now I really have to wonder if I'm allowed to discriminate against LGBTQ people
as a gay man.
As a gay man for non-religious reasons.
For non-religious
for
reasons?
For non-religious reasons.
That would be an interesting question. Yeah. I, again, having not read the actual ruling, I can't speak directly to it, but that's what the media is saying, right?
Yeah.
So who knows what the actual truth
is?
Yeah.
We haven't dug into this anywhere near far enough to know. We're just kind of guessing and speculating based on the headlines.
But one of the dissenting, in the dissenting opinion, it was, again, a 6-3 ruling by the Supreme Court. The dissenting opinion does say that the way this ruling is interpreted, it may allow for people to discriminate against people for other, discriminate against other peoples, right? So not just LGBTQ, but people for their religion
or race,
their race,
maybe,
or where they were born or whatever.
It does bring up an interesting question because I believe at least sex and race are protected in the Constitution, and I think that applies to businesses. If I'm
the
not
Constitution,
mistaken. It wasn't there.
Civil Rights Act was not a
not the Constitution.
That wasn't a Constitution. That wasn't a constitutional amendment.
Oh, what am I thinking of then? Was it just a law that was passed?
The Civil Rights Act was passed, I think, in 1969, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, something like that.
But that's the anti-discrimination.
Right. So. Okay. So it wasn't a constitutional amendment. But anyway, no, you know what I'm thinking of? That's what I'm thinking of. But what I'm thinking of is the constitutional amendment had to do with the slaves, I think, the end of slavery or something like that.
There was the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
They did that. But
yeah, anyway, I'm mixing the things up. But
yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Debate about that.
But it does go back to bring up an interesting question as far as, you know, that is concerned. Am I allowed to discriminate against a black person?
Yeah, and that is the question here, and that's what the dissenting opinions were saying here. And, you know, again, this just comes back to that old libertarian viewpoint of I may not support, and I don't support racism, I don't support bigotry, I'm against those things, but I do support a person's right to be those things. If that is what a person wants to do, if they want to be ignorant, if they want to be rude, if they want to do those things, I don't have to do business with them.
Let's just clarify this a little bit further. You would not be okay with a white supremacist using violence against a black person. But
no, of course
you,
not.
But you, even though you don't support a white supremacist being racist against a black person, you would not prohibit it in law. You would not use violence against them.
Yeah, that's right. I would rather use the market against them. Use market mechanisms
against
market
the white supremacist.
Correct. Meaning, I'm not going to do business with them.
Yep.
If I know, here in Keene, New Hampshire, it's a pretty small place.
Oh yeah.
There's only so many restaurants in town. If I find out a restaurant in town is not serving black people in Keene, New Hampshire, I'm going to be sure to not only never go to that business again, but also to inform all of my friends about it.
Yeah, I mean, right? Could you even imagine if you and your friend, you know, say you have a group of people and are mostly white, and you have a black friend that comes along with you to a restaurant, and they refuse service to your friend, your black friend?
I'm going
to
turn around and
really,
walk out.
Do you really think that restaurant is going to be in business long?
No, I don't think
so. I mean,
so.
The restaurant industry is a pretty competitive market, too, even in a small town.
Yeah, you can't afford to turn anybody away.
Yeah. I mean, even if, and it's interesting because you might be able to afford, if it was the case that, you know, everybody was racist in Keene, basically, and there was a small black population, maybe you could afford to turn away black people. But
That's true. You can't turn
away black people when the population isn't mostly racist.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And, you know, and that goes back to something you were talking about earlier, where people should be free to move about and move places where they're more welcome, where they feel better about that.
Yeah, my biggest concern is the restriction on movement that governments put in place, and they do it for different reasons, often tying children to parents or guardians, but also, and I think of that particularly with LGBT young people who are, you know, basically being persecuted in schools and things like that, where they're and by parents and things, and they're not allowed to leave. It's like there's something wrong with that, I think. But the problem is that the government is it's a government problem. But yeah, but it also, you know, it also, that kind of thing also happens elsewhere, through other means, I think, and in terms of like suspending driver's licenses for people who, I'm trying to think of an example of this.
It's usually poor people.
Yeah. Child support would be a good example, right?
So they can't go to work.
So they can't go to work or they can't leave. You know, and it doesn't apply. It's not just there, but like New York City, at least at one point, they, and probably still are, if you had been caught graffitiing underage, you wouldn't be able to get a driver's license for some lengthy amount of time after you normally would have been able to get a driver's license.
That's at least in New York City, you don't really need to drive anywhere in New York City because you can just take public transportation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Driving's much more important in more rural areas.
You're right. Sure. You're right. But it's still the... The restriction on your freedom of movement, I think, is a far bigger concern than, you know, some, you know, baker refusing to serve, you know, serve me as a gay man.
And if a bunch of Christians want to move to the same town together and everybody agrees they don't want to serve gay people or whatever it is that they're against, I'm okay with that, too. You know, because then... Everybody that supports gay rights and gay people or whatever, they're not going to come visit that town. Yeah. They're not going to go there for their vacation, and I think that's fine, too.
Yeah, I certainly think that I certainly wouldn't want to encourage people to do that, but I certainly...
I actually do want to encourage it, because I'd rather have those people live together.
You might be right on this.
Like, the same reason
why... But you're not encouraging them to be... bigoted or whatnot.
I'm just accepting that they'll be bigoted.
Yeah, you're just saying that they are being bigoted, so but let them go.
I know.
Off and...
I'm likely not going to convince them.
Right. Okay? And I would agree with you. I don't think you're going to change anybody's mind.
And this is happening right now with the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the Free State Project summertime event. It's what, 1 week? Not even a whole week since Pork Fest has ended, and already people are talking about naked people again.
The world's going to end.
Oh, God. Oh, we can't have our kids seeing somebody who's naked at the Naked Body Freedom Village in Pork Fest. Or, oh, my Lord, somebody was topless at the Free Talk. Somebody was complaining online today because someone was topless at the Free Talk Live site. There was a day that Aria and Nikki and another lady recorded a topless episode of Free Talk Live. They were complaining because they saw it, their kids saw it, or something like that. And it's like, y'all just go have your own festival, okay? If that's what you want to do, if you guys are, you can have Intolerant Fest or whatever the hell you would call it, Christ Fest, or I don't know what it would be, but you'd have your own festival and you could make sure that everybody agreed no one's going to take their top off. No one, you know, no Christian family is going to be offended by somebody being free with their body. So that's the solution, is quit trying to have, you know, other people live how you want and just go live how you want over there, okay? Or at a different festival at a different time at the same park, if you
know,
want.
It's kind of crazy, too, like the people are complaining just because it's like it's in some sense it's kind of funny just because the libertarians kind of have done this in New Hampshire in the sense that we've become a disproportionate voice in the state just because we speak out and we do activism and we do all this stuff that locals just aren't going to do because they don't have the motivation, you know, for whatever reason. But these conservatives have come in. They're a very small number, but then
they're loud, though.
They're loud, and they complain. And it's like, you don't have to be here. You don't have to come.
Yeah, no, they don't. But they get all upset because Porkfest advertises itself as being family friendly. And
it is to a libertarian, but that doesn't mean it's conservative.
Right, right. And that's just it. Not all families are the same. Not all families have the same values. And when a conservative-minded person sees the words family-friendly, they immediately presume that that means they won't see some naked person at that location. And there's other people who say to themselves, well, family-friendly means that there's cool people around and we're all respectful of one another and we're okay with other people expressing their freedoms how they want.
I think it's been traditionally, or I don't know if traditionally is quite the right word, but it's been understood as code for like not being, it's you would think it would mean something to the effect of, oh, there's activities for kids, right?
That's true.
That's what I would sort of think. Yeah. But in reality, it's been code for conservative values.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Because the other things that happen at Porkfest are, like, people are getting high and people are drinking alcohol. Like, there's all kinds of things that are traditionally not family activities going on that campground. But the thing they're the loudest about is if there's some topless lady walking down one of the aisles to go get some breakfast.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And it's interesting because some of these people have even expressed they've either made threats or expressed some sort of violent...
some have, yeah.
Yeah, violent. And it's not... It's, again, this is a very, very,
very small
number of
people. Most of them are just saying they're not going to go. Most of them are... And that's fine. That's what I'm saying. Just don't go. It's fine. Yeah. The event would be fine without you. In fact, the event would be better.
Solution.
The event would be better without those people because, honestly, there's too many people attending Porkfest at this point. The park can't handle it. It doesn't have the infrastructure. Apparently, the water got shut down multiple days this year.
3 days, I believe,
Too many humans at this park. It would be totally fine if the ultra-conservative Christian types went ahead and just forked off and did their own festival 2 weeks later or 2 weeks earlier or whatever. And then just have themselves their own, you know, bring 500 Christians to the park and then have all the Bible studies you want to have with no one topless. Everybody can wear long sleeves. You know? Wouldn't want to tantalize anyone with showing any skin.
You know what I want? I want to bring in, okay, just for the sake of humor, I want to bring in some Muslims with the whole face veil and complain about all the Christians walking around without full veil.
Well, the Muslims and the Christians.
Are they called veils?
I can't remember. It depends. It's a burqa.
The burqa.
The burqa is the full-on, full body.
Yeah.
You can only see the eyes.
That's what I want to do. I want to bring in a couple of Muslims to complain about.
I think you're going to find that if you bring the Muslims in, they're actually going to team up with the conservatives, and they'll both be angry about somebody being topless. Let's go to CW. He is in Arizona listening to K-Talks. Go ahead, CW. Hello? CW. Oops, I got you now. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about yesterday, Ian. I made you upset. I'm sorry.
I don't even remember what it was about, dude. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Anyways, you're talking about the Christians starting their own little festivals. But you understand that if they do that, then obviously people are going to infiltrate and say, they're being so kind and everything. And it's just going to
be a big mess. What do you mean they'll infiltrate?
Well, because the Christians go to the Pork Fest and say, hey, they're topless. You said family friendly. And I don't like seeing, showing my kids all this stuff, And then if the Christians, you said, why don't the Christians just start their own little thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are going to go there and start bashing them, too. So
no, they won't.
Never
why would I go to a Christian festival?
I have no interest in going.
Conservative festival.
There's always people that are going to bash the other.
Well, no. The thing is, when you go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you sign an agreement. When you buy the ticket, there's an agreement that goes along with it. And in the agreement, it says you may see some naked people at some point while you're at Rogers Campground. There's a chance you may come across this. In the same way the Christians can say, you're not allowed to be naked. You're not allowed this and that. You're not allowed to have alcohol. Yes. You're not allowed to have, you fill in the blank. And if you violate that, they can throw your ass out of their festival. And they would be well within their rights to do it.
If you do even just a little bit of research into the festival, Porkfest, right? It's pretty clear about what the event's about. It's about freedom. It's not about one specific freedom. It's about all the freedom.
Yeah, there's zero chance that Body Freedom Village is going to try to infiltrate the Christian festival. They would not be welcome there.
There isn't even that much body. Like, there's not even that many naked people running around the campground. Like, it's
10 of them or something.
Yeah, I didn't witness firsthand, but I could probably tell.
Yes.
I know you did, and I saw some pictures.
I was at the Naked Olympics.
At the Naked Olympics. I didn't go to that. I didn't see that, but I think there was probably a dozen people.
Yeah, it was very silly. And
right.
What else, CW?
Oh, anyways, you said something about the water, there wasn't enough water. Man, I would not want to go to somewhere where I couldn't bathe or drink. Man, could you imagine that, just dehydrating and passing out?
There's still water you can get in bottled form as drinking.
The problem wasn't a thirst issue. The problem was the porta-potties filled up, and then there was nowhere to go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. See, I'm a plumber. I deal with porta-potties all the time. And those things are horrendous during the summer. Well, I don't know how hot it gets up there.
It probably wasn't that bad because in northern New Hampshire, in the mountains, it doesn't get like super hot.
It can still get up in the 80s.
It's warm, but it's not like it would be probably in other certain other.
Yeah,
ways.
No, it's not going to be
120 degree poops.
No, it's not going to be that.
It was in the 70s, low 70s or something like that.
Hey, thanks CW for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're not going to go to a Christian festival. Okay, no interest. And they're not going to, and if they set up their rules, they're the ones that rent the park. They're the ones that get to set the rules. So if they don't want people doing alcohol and people doing drugs and people being topless,
you know,
then they will prohibit those things from happening, and they will be within their rights to kick those people out of the park. And those people wouldn't want to go to that festival anyways because it's too square. Why would you want to go to a square festival?
Yeah. You know what's also funny about this conversation is it's not even like it's all the Christians out there who have a problem with nudity or even drugs. Like, we think of that as conservative values, and they are often like Christians, but it's not all Christians. Like, there's a lot of Christians who don't have any problem with, like, they've got nudist Christian camps and things like that, and beaches and all sorts of things.
Christian nudists, huh?
Yeah, like, it's not like we perceive it just because I think it's probably, like, I don't know if it's Protestant or, but it's like a particular.
Man. The Christian nudists need to come to Porkfest because I think they would have a lot of fun there. Wouldn't it be crazy if there was an actual nudist Bible study that happened at the Porcupine
Freedom
Festival?
Oh my God, that would be great.
But only if it was real, right? Like, I don't want the I don't want the Body Freedom Village guys, if they're a bunch of atheists or whatever. And I don't know what their beliefs are, okay? They may have have different religious beliefs. But if there actually were some real, like, Christian nudists there, I think it'd be awesome if they had a Bible study, and it would fit in completely with the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because there are Christians. I don't want to make it sound like this is an anti-Christian rant. It's not, okay? There are Christians who go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and they have a great time.
Yeah.
And they don't get all uppity about somebody being topless over there or somebody being naked over somewhere else or walking down the aisles. They don't care about that. Like, I think a perfect example would be Russell Canning, who is just the easiest going guy you're ever going to come across. He's a Free State Project early mover. He lives here in the Keene area. And the guy's always got a smile on his face. There's nothing that can set this guy off. He's not mad about anything. He never pushes his Christianity on you. If you ask him, he'll tell you all about it, right? But if you're sitting down at dinner with Russell, he's just going to be talking about activism or secession or, you know, whatever's going on with the...
Just don't bring up the flat earth.
Don't bring up flat earth. Yeah,
with Russell. Just on this one. Don't bring up the flat earth.
He might bring that one up, but...
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. He might not bring up the Christianity,
no,
but the flat earth stuff's another story.
Yeah, but for the most part, he's really fun to... he's fun to be around. He's fun to talk to because he doesn't try to, you know, run your life, you know, and there are those Christians who are at this festival, and they're great. Those are the good Christians, as far as I'm concerned. They're not complaining about what other people are doing. They're just doing their own thing, because that's what you can do at Porkfest. You can just go there and do your own thing, and as long as you're okay with other people doing their own thing, it's all good.
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of interesting too, in that there's other religious there's a Jewish contingent, just like there's a Russian contingent.
Yeah.
There's a Jewish contingent and a Christian contingent, but the Jewish contingent isn't complaining. It's just those couple of Christians that are complaining.
Yeah, that is a good point. Although Footloose, who's an occasional caller on the show, he's one of the people who is upset about this people being naked or whatever. I think he's claimed he's not a Christian. So it is just like the conservatives. I think it's more fair to put it on the backs of the quote-unquote conservative
conservatives. I think conservative is definitely a better way to phrase it than to say Christians.
Right.
Or, yeah, because I mean...
It jumps to a conclusion to say that they're Christians. I don't think they all are.
I think these people are probably Christians.
They may have been raised
Christians.
That are
complaining, but I don't think it's the majority of Christians at Porkfest or anything like that. And I guess what I would be saying is I don't want to blame the Christians for being anti-nudist when that's not the case.
That's a good point.
It's a few conservatives who are anti, you know, nudism. And
and it may have become, I mean, I bet if we looked into their history or how they were raised, we'd find out that they were raised by ultra-Christian conservative parents or something like that. But that's just a presumption, because, I mean, it seems to me to be a religious viewpoint that nudity is bad, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe there's a religious people who also believe that nudity is bad or nudity is wrong, and I don't know where that would come from. besides sort of a puritanical religious mentality at some point in the past?
I've never heard of anybody saying, oh, I'm atheist and I'm against nudity. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem to mix, but, you know, I don't know. I mean,
could be. Yeah. There was somebody else online today who was involved with the Libertarian Party. I don't know what his religious beliefs are, but he was upset about the toplessness at the Free Talk Live tent and upset about apparently, allegedly, somebody from Body Freedom Village went naked as they were walking around the park, which supposedly is against the rules of Porkfest.
Okay, so I think there's probably... Okay, so there's so few people walking around the campground naked like this.
Yeah.
It's probably... Jeffrey? Is it Jeffrey? Isn't it?
Jeff is the head of the Body Freedom Village.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's probably Jeffrey when he went around in his skirt without anything.
Did that happen this year,
yes,
too?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I think there were two little, like, probably like three or four year old kids running around at the picture on Saturday that were naked.
Oh my God.
So those are probably, it's got to be one or the other, I'm pretty sure. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, sometimes I'm amazed by people who are upset by this, like people who are otherwise really good libertarian activists. They just get all twisted up over this particular issue, and it's just like, I cannot understand it. And when I try to ask about it, like, just help me understand why you have this viewpoint. Usually the response in this case was, well, you don't get to tell me how to raise my kids. I'm like, whoa, I'm not telling you how to raise your kids.
You're the one who brought them here.
I'm just saying I'm asking you, why? Why is it this way? Why are you so anti-nudity? Why do you think, I mean, first of all, it's unrealistic, number one, to think that you can raise your kids in the internet age and have them never see a naked person. I'm sorry. Look, I was raised in the 80s and the 90s.
I don't even think you can, even without the internet, I don't think you can keep your
kids
in
saying
nudity.
I was raised in the 80s. We were passing along a Playboy magazine on the school bus when I was in probably first grade or something
that. I'm thinking the same thing in like fifth grade. I don't think I ever saw anybody pass one around on like a school bus, but certainly by like in like fifth and maybe like fifth grade, certainly.
Pre-internet. Pre-internet.
Yeah, like, okay. I remember there was a camp I went to and there were kids passing around a Playboy, right? Like,
whatever it is your kids are seeing that you don't know about is way worse than anything going on at Porkfest, okay?
And the other thing I think is kind of funny is, like, there's so many other encounters that young people are going to have with nudity, just like, there's going to be kids running around naked and things like that, and they never have a problem with that. It doesn't seem like they have so much of a problem with that, but that's also, like, you would think they'd have a problem with it, but they don't.
It doesn't make any sense, and they're never going to explain it in any sort of rational manner. So they don't belong at Porkfest. So don't go. Out of time for tonight. You can join us tomorrow night online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.